The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
It's come down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go. At the line, 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start-finish line. Going down into turn number 1, they start to fan out. Coming off a 2, they're side-by-side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4, white flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers, anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2x2, 3 wide coming off the turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top, trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4, there's still 2x2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. 2's on the inside coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 Yep, this is Inside Florida Racing.
I'd like to welcome Mark Keeler from Orlando Graphics, who's going to help us tonight in the absence of Rob Elting and Jason Beckner.
Carol, what's with your voice, man? I thought you had your voice back.
I can leave if you'd like.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
how you
I'm
doing,
here.
Mark?
I'm doing pretty good. The ride wasn't quite so unexpected this week, so.
And we got one nice list of guests tonight.
Absolutely. Pete Hamilton, 1970 Daytona 500 champion, also a Snowball Derby champion, and former NASCAR Rookie of the Year in the Winston Cup Series.
Okay, we don't need him now. So, you just did it.
Oh, I know. I'm getting all excited, though. I've been waiting for this since you announced it last week.
Wayne Calkins, who I've been really excited about having on the show for the last...
We don't really have Wayne on. We just announced that he's going to be on.
Would you please go home? Wayne Calkins, a figure eight racer, and Levi Parsons. Plus, we'll have our regular reports from the track people, what's going on and what's going to happen.
Carol, you like this mic boom? Check this out, man. Goes up and down.
Jack got a new toy.
Hey, now.
On my side.
Remember, Jack, this is a family show.
Yeah, buddy.
This is my family.
We're going to talk to Todd Hutter tonight from
Todd Hutter.
One of the owners, promoters at East Bay Raceway Park. He's going to talk all about this giant super deal motorcycle deal going on up there, man. They're bringing bikes to East Bay. Can you imagine? We'll find out all about that.
That ought to be pretty fun. What'd you do this weekend, Mark?
This weekend, started out at Orlando Speed World Friday night. And we regular weekly racing series Saturday night started at New Smyrna. Unfortunately, Mother Nature did not allow that to happen, so I cruised down to Orlando Speed World and ended up flagging the back gate for Rusty for the Saturday night show. So pretty much my whole weekend was Orlando Speed World.
Boy, I'll tell you, you're getting to be a jack of all trades.
If it has to do with racing,
No, wait. He's the mark of all trades. I'm the jack of all trades. He's the mark of all trades.
He's the jack of all trades, but master of none.
That's exactly right.
Got that right.
We also got Don Ream coming on tonight to the president of the TBRA. Florida's most exciting short track traveling series is going to DeSoto for a 50-lap DeSoto Super Speedway Saturday night, coming up for a 50-lap race, which they don't normally do.
No, I think they usually, the most I've seen them is 35.
Yeah, 35, and they're going to run 50.
That ought to be exciting. By the time you get warmed up, they're done.
Well, Mark, I'll tell you what, man.
Yes, sir.
We were talking off the air before we started this mess. We changed deals here for listeners. People listening to the show don't have to listen to it now with a Windows Media Player. Almost everybody on the planet Earth who has a computer has Windows Media Player on their computer. But there are better ways sometimes. I think it's actually better to use a little program called Winamp, and it's free, and you can download it and for free and use that to listen to this show. Or you can use a Real Player.
Yeah, I use Real Player typically.
Yeah, and so you can use any of those three formats to listen to our shows live now. And this was all inspired because we had a huge, just we were overblown with what happened when we went to broadcast live up at Georgia, the ASA Late Model Series races. We had so many people trying to log in on both Saturday and Friday nights. Friday wasn't all that unexpected. The numbers were unexpected, but Saturday night, I mean, you know, we had like, I think, 550 people trying to log on Saturday night while racing was going on. And these people were typically from states up north who were trying to catch up on what was going on with the ASA Late Model Series. So that fiasco led us to a new format. So hopefully this works a little better.
Sorry, I'm typing on the computer right now.
No, that's okay. Go ahead and continue typing.
I believe that's called dead time. So you
a little bit of dead air never hurt anybody.
An announcement about tomorrow night's Real Racing USA show live. That's the Real Racing USA live show on Tuesday night, 7 to 9. We have the writer and the creator of the Killicycle.
The Killicycle.
The Killicycle. This is too cool. They were featured on Speed Channel last week, or in the last few days, actually. And there is a piece on the Discovery Channel that's being put together right now for airing later in the year. The Killicycle is a 160-mile-an-hour motorcycle.
160?
Yeah, in the quarter mile.
Wow.
Quarter mile. 8-second quarter mile. And what makes this bike really special, because, you know, on Real Racing USA, we've been covering all Harley drags for about half a year now. It's pretty exciting. These are some pretty interesting guys. Well, the Killicycle is all battery-powered. 160 miles an hour, and it's quiet. It sounds like a Black & Decker drill. Anyway, that's tomorrow night on Real Racing USA Live. Check it out. So what do you guys, what do you think about... There was rain all weekend, wasn't it?
There was at my house. We stayed home and watched silly movies and ate popcorn and went to bed early.
Yeah, there was a lot of rain up in the Central Florida area. Like I said, New Smyrna Speedway got rained out on Saturday night. Speed World, I actually, Jack can attest to this, I've got a pretty killer radar program on my computer, so I sat up in the tower all Friday night and kept an eye on the weather. The rain never got, after practice was over, the rain never got within about 20 miles of us. So we were able to get the show in, ended up being a good show. So, and then again on Saturday, actually we were right on the edge of the rain all night Saturday night. Rusty Marcus, the entire track crew there, busted their butts all night to make sure that we got the show in, and they got the show in. It was a great race Saturday night. So two awesome nights of racing at Orlando Speed World.
They let him out of his straitjacket.
Yeah, every now and then. Wow. So, cool. In fact, actually, I just got off the phone with him a few minutes ago. We got some exciting news coming up a little bit later in the show. We're going to break about Orlando Speed World and their plans, or their upcoming plans, for something different, something that I'm sure that it's been done before, but hasn't been done in the last few years. So stay tuned a little bit later. Some breaking news from Orlando Speed World.
Tonight? Breaking news tonight?
Breaking news tonight, whenever you're ready for it.
And we don't even know about it. Yeah, well, hang on to it for a little while, because we're going to also... We're supposed to talk to Dave Westerman tonight. Now, is Dave going to break this news, or are you?
I'm not sure Dave's even aware of it.
Good.
I just I was talking to Rusty when I pulled in the driveway, so and that's when I just found out. So I'm not sure who all is privy to the information yet, but we're going to break it right here on Inside Florida Racing.
How do you like that? We invite him to fill in, and he comes in here with breaking news.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
So, very cool.
All right, I'll tell you what. Why don't we go to break now and come back? We have to talk to Pete Hamilton early, is that what we have
Pete
to do?
Yes, Pete has other engagements, so we got to get him at 7:15.
Other engagements? What could possibly be more important than Inside Florida Racing tonight?
I thought you were going to say talking to Carol Wicks.
Well, that, I was inferring by inference.
Well,
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Carol. Since you know, if that's the way you want to be about it, we'll just.
That's
go.
The way I want to be about it.
All right. Well, we'll just have to go to break then. That's all there is to that.
And when we come back, hopefully, we'll have Pete Hamilton with us.
It's come
down to this. 100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number 1. They start to fan out. Coming off a 2. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4. White flag in the air. Checkers and wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2 by 2. 3 wide coming off the turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top. Trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4. There's still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Hello, I'm Frank Bartles, and this here's my partner, James Brown. As the weather starts getting
too hot,
we hope you'll reach for one of these. New Van James Brown Wine Cooler.
It tastes good.
They come in 3 funky flavors. Gravity Grape.
Get down.
Prime of Passion Fruit.
Woo, Timothy.
And my personal favorite, Papaya.
Papaya's got a brand new bag.
It'll get you off faster than a big city lawyer.
Woo!
And a single pack serves 6 to 10. Just like James.
New Bartles and James Brown Wine Coolers. The cooler cooler, made in the cooler.
Now behind bars everywhere.
And thank you for your support.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-star Race Car Bodies. 5-star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Hello, I'm Frank Bartles, and this here's my partner, James Brown. As the weather starts getting
too hot,
we hope you'll reach for one of these. New Van James Brown Wine Cooler.
It tastes good.
They come in 3 funky flavors. Gravity Grape.
Get down.
Prime of Passion Fruit.
Woo, Timothy.
And my personal favorite, Papaya.
Papaya's got a brand new bag.
It'll get you off faster than a big city lawyer.
Woo!
And a single pack serves 6 to 10. Just like James.
New Bartles and James Brown Wine Coolers. The cooler cooler, made in the cooler.
Now behind bars everywhere.
And thank you for your support.
All right, we're back. Inside Florida Racing. All right. So, Mark, what you got on your mind over there, man?
Plenty of stuff. Some of it racing related, some of it not. But that's always the way it is. Now we got the new schedule or the revised schedule for the remaining of 2007 for the Advanced Auto Parts Pro Trucks, because we had the rain out there at New Smyrna this past Saturday night, and we've had a couple rainouts throughout the year. So, and we talked about it last week, how the schedule's really starting to tighten up on everybody. But the schedule as of right now, for anybody listening that does not know, is going to be the 75-lapper we were supposed to run this past Saturday. It's going to be run October the 13th, which was already on the schedule as a 50-lapper. Now it's going to be 75. And then October 20th, they're up at Columbia Motorsports Park for a 50-lapper. They've added a show November the 3rd. It's 50 laps at New Smyrna Speedway. That's going to make up for a missing race there. And then, of course, November 24th, the 100-lap Florida State Pro Truck Championship at New Smyrna Speedway. So there was a little bit of confusion over the weekend. So just wanted to clarify that. That is the upcoming schedule for the Advanced Auto Parts Pro Truck. Should be already up on the website, or if not, it's going to be up there soon. So check it out. Some great racing.
So have you heard any more news from Jerry about the nostalgia reunion up at New Smyrna?
Not a lot. Just what he's been posting on the message board. He's got an impressive driver's list so far.
Unbelievable.
A good share of dirt and asphalt guys. So everybody's going to be well represented there. Hopefully we can get Pete Hamilton to show up at that too. That'd be pretty,
he said he would.
Pretty cool. And actually he built quite a few of those cars up there, especially the ones that came out of the Eastern Massachusetts area that raced at Westboro and Norwood Arena and all that. He had a hand in quite a few of them. So hopefully
Bug
talk
Stevens
to him.
Is going to be there. Yep. Leo Cleary, Bill Wimble.
Something funny about Bugsy and Leo, I've never actually seen either one of them drive a modified.
Oh.
When I was growing up, they had already moved on to the pro stocks at Seekonk Speedway. In fact, Leo was king of that series or that division for quite a while. And Bugsy drove a blue number 18 there as far back as I can remember, because I can remember as a kid we'd go to Thompson Speedway and they'd have this, the old, what they call the wood chopper, the old number 15. And I'd look at my dad and I'd say, whose car is that? He'd say, Bugsy. And I'd say, Bugsy drives a modified? And I had absolutely no clue because, I mean, naturally I'm a little bit younger than the others.
A wee bit.
Just a couple years. So. But I was absolutely unaware that Bugsy at one time drove a modified. I always saw him driving pro stocks.
I'm sorry, I was listening to him. I get sidetracked.
That's dead air, Carol, dead air.
I know. I'm not supposed to do that. Anyway, I think this is going to be a big thing for New Smyrna. I'll tell you what. We're getting calls from people we least expected. Once the word gets around, it just went ballistic.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of how to say this. It's going to bring a lot of people back to Speed Weeks that have been there before, or the World Series of Asphalt, that have been there before that maybe the last few years haven't come down, or other things have kept them away, and I think it's going to bring them all back to the track. I remember as a kid, every year since 79, we'd come down here for Speed Weeks at New Smyrna Speedway, and then we go into the 500, and, I mean, names like Reggie Ruggiero were always there. Reggie always had, he always had Shark Lounge as a sponsor when he came down here. But the old Teddy Bear Pools, number 44, and people like Mike Stefanik and the Fuller Brothers and all of them. So if we can get them back at the track, I think it's really going to be great for fans of all ages, because, you know, I'm a little bit younger than y'all, but still, that's the good old days for me. So
You totally amaze me with the knowledge that you have.
I think we're ready for our first guest tonight. I'll let you do the honors, Carol.
Pete.
Yes.
Hey, welcome to Inside Florida Racing.
Well, thank you very much.
What an honor and a pleasure to have you on our show.
Well, I'm up here in Maine tonight at our summer cottage, and we weren't doing too well on our connection. The cell phones, sometimes they don't work that good out in the woods.
Oh, I thought you were down here in sunny, rainy Florida.
Well, we live in Florida, down in the Florida Keys in the wintertime, but we're up here in Maine. Been coming up to this lake, same lake, all my life.
We were just talking about the big nostalgia reunion that we have planned over there at New Smyrna during Speed Week. And, of course, you're going to be there, right?
Well, I'm certainly going to try to. It kind of depends on when we're down there. My wife and I will be going down there. They're getting together all the past winners of the Daytona 500 and celebrate the 50th anniversary of the running of the Daytona 500. And that would be this coming February. We were We were all down there the 4th of July, and it was just amazingly fun to be there with those guys and all the stories and the lies. And, well, you know what it's like when a bunch of old racers get together. There's no telling what's going to happen.
It's almost like fishermen, right?
Right.
Well, we're going to... That's going to be the most exciting, fun thing that I think's ever happened in the state of Florida, getting all you guys back together.
Well, now this is going to be over at New Smyrna Speedway, right?
Yes, on February 15th, I believe it is.
Okay. Well, I know that racetrack was mighty good to me. We won a lot of races over there.
You won a lot of races everywhere, Pete.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think you were about 20 when I first saw you at Norwood Arena.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Is that about the right age at Norwood?
When I actually started running what they call a street stock when I was 19. And I ran for just a few races, and then the following year we come back and started running a hobby car. And so I ended up running all the divisions that Norwood Arena had to offer, and finally, finally got into the modifieds, and that was... That was a big jump from the street stock to them in about a little bit over a year.
Well, you went on to much bigger and better things after that, that's for sure.
Well, we were very fortunate, and I don't know how much ability I had, but I had a lot of desire. I think probably if there's one thing that a race car driver, even to this very day, that he can have, it's nice to have ability and... all that, but it's crucial to have that desire, and that helped me a lot. It carried me a long way when we might not be the fastest, but we just kind of kept hanging in there and go, and by doing that we won our share of races
and championships.
Well, that too.
You're too modest.
The championship that we won down here in New England, that kind of propelled us down to move south was the National Sportsman Championship, and that year Bugsy Stevens won his first modified championship, and Richard Petty was the Winston Cup. In those days we called it the Grand National. So the three of us were on the podium together. And that was down there at Daytona, and they had it over at the Plaza Hotel on Daytona Beach. And there was probably, maybe the maximum of, if there was 200 people, I would say probably even less than that attended that thing. And so you can see, even in the dinners that they have today, that there's been some mighty big changes in NASCAR.
Pete, I got a question for you. This is Mark Keeler.
Mark.
I see you. I know you're from Dedham, Massachusetts. Is that correct?
That's where I was living when I won the championship.
Okay, yeah. I was born and raised in Needham. So,
Needham is actually where we worked on the race cars, and where we probably were six and a half days out of seven in Needham. Sometimes we'd spend all night at the garage over there. Jack Malone.
Yep.
Had the Speedway Alley, and I didn't have any money. Most of us didn't have any money in those days at all. And Jack, he gave me a garage to use, which was amazing, which was a mighty big thing that helped me. And Jack helped me out in other ways, primarily in at the racetrack, and going out and running with me and against me and showing me. He'd drive my car and I'd drive his. And he really is the one that got me going over there at Norwood Arena.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that the old gasoline alley there off Chestnut Street, because growing up as a kid, I would walk 2.5 miles a day past that garage on the chance. And I'm sure you'll know the name George Savory.
Oh, yeah.
He was my idol growing up, and I'd walk by just on the off chance he had the garage door open and I might be able to see the car. Later on, when he was driving Pro 4s in the early 90s, I actually got to hang out at the shop with him quite a bit.
Well,
so that was special.
George is a good guy. I saw him a couple of weeks ago. We were down there in Needham to visit with some friends, and I got to see George. He was working on a 32 Roadster.
Yep.
he does a lot of that now.
Yeah, he hung up the racing gloves and decided to collect some classic cars there. But some other names that came out of Gasoline Alley, or at least that general area, naturally Bobby Melnick had right. cars there, the Bakayokis, or right. Bob Bakayoki, and then later Doug. Now, did Don McTavish have his car there at all?
No, Mac never worked out of that with us. I mean, there were different times when all of us, I think, went over to Dover, which was mm-hmm. probably 6-7 miles away, and helped him on his car. You know, we would work with him, and I know I worked with Mac, a little bit to try to help out because he was running for the championship, and none of the rest of us at that point were, and the same thing happened to me a year later when I ran for the championship. Is a lot of people showed up and kind of helped, and when we'd crash a car and it looked like we wouldn't possibly make it to the racetrack the next day. People would magically show up and help, and without that, I don't think there's any way that I would have won the championship or Mac either.
One more quick question for you. I've got an old picture at my house that it predates me by quite a few years, but it's George Savory's old Vega wagon modified.
Uh-huh.
My dad tells me there's quite an interesting story behind that car, and he thinks it's that particular one, but it was a car that you had actually built that was going to be modeled after a kit car. Or the kit car was going to be modeled after that car, and then later was turned into a modified for George and then Bob Bakayoki. But he tells me that originally came. That was a Pete Hamilton car at one point in time.
Yes, we built the first station wagon that George had. We built, and it was largely modified after the Chrysler kit car deal. The first year that came out was 72, and we had one, and Harry Hyde had one, and a couple other teams had one. A couple other teams had them and never really raced them much. Because I wasn't running a cup car at the time, I ran mine a good bit. And so we learned a lot about it. And I was building cars for other people during that period of time. And we built a car for George, and that baby hauled ass.
Yeah, it's one of the best pictures I have, one of my favorite pictures. It was actually taken at the infield at Seekonk, which was a track that I grew up at. I think Westboro had closed down when I was in my earlier days, and, of course, Norwood was a little before my time. My father actually used to be the fireman at Norwood in the late 60s.
Well, for good. Seekonk is a great place. That's where we brought that car up north, and I came up with it. And George took his old car to Seekonk, and I took the new station wagon to Seekonk, and we ran both cars that day for a little test. And, immediately it went really good. And I had never been up. I had run Seekonk a few times with a modified, but I'd never really, not this type of a car. And we had a lot of fun, doing that. And George had a lot of success at Seekonk.
Yeah, modifieds. Actually, when I was growing up, he always had a Pro Stock and what they called Seacock modifieds, which later became the Mini modifieds and then the Pro Fours.
Oh, for goodness' sakes! Yeah, George really did good with those Pro Fours too.
Oh, he was unbeatable.
Another name, Bob Bakayoki.
Oh yeah,
he was the one that actually got me into racing to begin with. I was working
really?
At his gas station down in Newton, and down Needham Street, just going out of Needham and into Newton, and. I was working at his gas station, and he was racing a hobby car at Norwood, and I went over there a few times and watched him, and I decided I had to do that, and so that first year he was the one, he was the guy kicking me in the butt. I had some good guys that really helped me all the way along.
Yeah, I grew up, Bob's son Doug is just a few years older than me. He's actually the same age as my older brother, and when Doug got into it, I kind of hung around their cars, but unfortunately never got to see Bob and Jack and all them. I race cars. I got to see Kerry Malone, who's still going at it, Jack's son, Kerry. And actually, George's son, Richard, is running the Whelen Modified Tour, and he's had some success with it this year, too.
Yes, he has.
So, it's great to talk to you. Actually, Carol Wicks, the other host here with me, she's actually from Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh, for goodness sake. Well, that's the town that I was born in. I was born in Newton Wellesley Hospital. And I lived in Newton all my life, and my folks moved away, and so Butchie Walsh and I ended up getting a third-story apartment over in Dedham, and it had no heat, and we froze our ass up, up there. I'm telling you, but he was running midgets at the time,
yep,
for Mike Scavani, and I was driving for Worcester Sand, and so we were just, you know, we were hardly ever there. So it actually worked out pretty good.
Unbelievable. Yeah, last I knew, Butchie was living over in Dover.
He's down in the Cape now.
Oh, did he? Okay. Well, I moved out of
down there. He got a farm. He sold his mom, and mom passed away, and they sold that place, and he went down and bought a farm. And I think the barn is full of motorcycles.
Yep. It was as long as I knew it. When he lived in Dover, there. This was after he was racing midgets, early '90s, and he was actually working for George in the body shop.
Oh yeah, he worked for George for a bunch of years.
Yep.
What's the biggest, most exciting event in your racing career?
Wow. I guess, you know, winning both Talladegas in one year was a really exciting thing, particularly the second one, because as the laps wound down, I began to realize that I had a chance to do something that no one had done at that particular time, because Talladega at that point was pretty new racetrack for us, and so it wound down, and that was pretty exciting when I took the checkered flag for that, you know, winning the both legs that year. That was exciting, but I'd have to say, without question, that the most exciting race for me would be the Daytona 500.
I would imagine it probably was.
I mean, that's the one that receives a lot of the publicity. I was telling my wife just the other day, I said, you know, it's kind of funny. At the time, we couldn't quite run wide open down there. We were running a 426 Hemi, and it was, you know, about 10,000 over board, so it was 430, and it had a lot of torque, and it had pretty good horsepower. It had a little bit better horsepower than what they have on the big tracks today, but they're running a lot smaller motor. And we had a good body on those cars, so it didn't have much drag. And those cars would easily run over 200. They'd run, you know, at Daytona, we run 203, 205 every once in a while in a good draft. But at the last lap, once I took that last lap and saw that checkered flag, I wanted to make damn sure that I was gonna that there was not going to be anything wrong. And I never even let off on that baby. I sunk that thing down in the first turn and slid damn near to the wall, because I was gonna make sure that that I was gonna take another lap, and I did. The tires by that time were pretty well wore, because we had about 15 laps on a new set of tires. And I took this gigantic slide for life in one and two, and went up and you know, got close to the wall and went, you know, then I was okay down the backstretch, 2, 3, and 4, and finally coming off 4, I think I might have backed off, you know, a little bit. So I didn't run 200 laps. I ran 201.
Go ahead.
Just a personal opinion, or actually, I'd like to get your opinion. NASCAR back in those days was kind of all about the modifieds and the prestige of those big racetracks, and it was more of a the racers were more accessible from the fans' point of view, and I think that helped the sport quite a bit. Now, naturally, NASCAR made a great model in bringing the sport into what it is today. What's your opinion on NASCAR and especially the Cup cars in particular, and where it stands right now with the actual racing fan and how it's progressed?
Well, it's been being involved from, you know, several years before I even went to Daytona. Eddie Flemke took me to Daytona for the first time. I rode down there with he and Eddie and a couple other guys from New Britain, and we stayed down there and went down, saw his sister in Miami, and you know, we took a look around. And you're right, it was a lot easier to get to the race drivers in those days than it is now. It, to me, it looks like a slow progression, because when you see a track, go from 50,000-60,000 people to eventually 100 to 130 to 160 to I don't even know what they have now at Daytona, 180, something like that, maybe even a couple hundred thousand with the infield, I don't know. But it one of the demands on the guy driving the hot rod are a lot different. And if you've got 50,000 people and 10% want to have an autograph, that's 5,000 people. If you've got 10% of the people that want to have an autograph today, that's 20,000 people. And that's a lot of difference. And what that means is every moment of every time at the racetrack, if you're not driving a car, you actually could be probably standing out there with a big long line and signing hats and signing different things and pictures and stuff. And that it always has been important for the racers to have that access and to be able to do that. The problem that most of the racers have today is the demand put on them by the sponsors that put up a tremendous amount of money, and they would like to, they during race week, they want you here, they want you there, they'd like you at this hospitality tent, they'd like you to come to this dinner, please come to this breakfast, and of course everything, you try to do it all, and what really gets, just as you pointed out, what really gets shuffled to the back, unfortunately, is the fan. And the fan, has in NASCAR and all kind of racing, the fan has always, paid the freight and made it possible. Without people sitting in the grandstands, there wouldn't be any races. So I hope that, as time goes on, we can still get the racer where he's accessible. Unfortunately, they're a lot less accessible now than they were before. When we were down there the 4th of July, there was about 21 or 23 of the guys that have won the Daytona 500 that were there, and about half of them were current, current people or they had different jobs to do and stuff like that. Well, it was probably 8 or 10 of us old farts that were there, we had almost unlimited time. And I will tell you that having unlimited time was absolutely full with talking with the people, with signing autographs. And for a fellow like me, it's 35 years. It was, it'll be 38 years come February since I won that race. And that's a long time. Most of the fans weren't even born when that happened.
we're speaking here with...
Mind you, I didn't win the first Daytona 500. I won the 12th one. So, in other words, we're dealing with folks that go, Jesus, it's nice to see you, Mr. Hamilton. I said, no one calls me that but my banker. so it's kind of humorous. But I think that I know the old people, the older guys that were there, really appreciated the people coming up and because they appreciate what NASCAR has done done for us. No, we didn't make a lot of money. Most of us, Ned Jarrett was saying, he won a national championship and won a lot of races and all. I never made $100,000. And today, what they pay at Daytona for last place, mind you, is more than I won in my whole NASCAR Grand National.
Oh my God!
So in other words, like my wife said to me the other day, she said, you were just born 25 years too early.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking here with NASCAR legend Pete Hamilton. Pete, what about the drivers and I mean those points you just made? That's absolutely. I mean, it's fascinating insight. But what about the drivers and the talent? Yoel Kodgers, how you guys look at these young whips?
I think to a man, everybody looks at these guys that are driving today as just as talented in every way as any other guy that's wheeled a race car, whether it's an Indy car or a stock car or Formula One or whatever, or, you know, sports car running. You know, I did a little bit of that. We won a race on 4th of July one time running. The race started at midnight down there at Daytona. It was called the Paul Revere 250, and it was pretty much run in darkness. If we didn't have headlights on our race cars, we would have never finished the race. We wouldn't be able to see where the hell we were going. But I think that there's a lot of respect up and down the line. I spent a lot of time with Junior, with Earnhardt, and with Jimmy Johnson, and talked with them quite a bit about it. And, of course, they had a lot of questions about in the past. Maybe one of the biggest differences between then and now is the weight of the drivers. We were bigger. A lot of us were bigger men. You know, weighed well over 200 pounds, because none of the cars had power steering. They steered harder, and so if you still had to sit there and run a 500 mile show, but you didn't have power steering, and every once in a while, one of these guys will lose his power steering or lose the power steering belt or something like that, and they find out about it, and you know, they realize that is mighty critical today to keep these cars going, because it's hard to drive one for 500 miles without that. And Richard and I were talking about that down there too. He said, you know, we were a little bit bigger, you know, in those days physically. Now, today, there's a certain advantage in having a lighter race driver, because you're carrying less weight around. Well, we didn't really think about that then.
It's
Tiny Lund and Buddy Baker, hell, they both weighed 230, 240. And, you know, they were bigger. And then, you know, I was around 200, and so was Richard, and, you know, Glotzback and Bobby Allison and all the rest.
Well, when you look at what's coming up, like when you go to the racing divisions that are, you know, like feeder-type series, or where people are, young drivers are learning the craft and the trade, you don't see too many big ones. They're some really tiny. I think they're getting smaller, Pete.
They are. That's right. If they were to sit in those old cars of ours, they'd need wooden blocks on the pedals. But you're absolutely right. They are smaller men, but you know that they're just as ferocious in their desire to win as we were then. There is no different. I see it all the time. Right now, NASCAR has got a wonderful crop of race drivers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there is a lot of guys that have won races in the past, that are still racing, or that are coming and just getting started. There is a NASCAR, to me at least, is tremendously healthy at this point. And, you know, I came up here and green flagged the start of the spring sizzler up here at Stafford. There certainly was nothing wrong with that race. They had a real good crowd. They had a good race. They had a lot of competitive things. The competitive juices were flowing. Stafford Springs looked just as good as it ever did to me. It looked like it was doing great.
Well, Pete, we're getting close to time here, and I am so looking forward to seeing you on February 15th. I don't know how to thank you for being on the show. It's been...
And Pete, before you go, you're going to do it. What's the deal now at Daytona as well with all of previous winners getting together? What's that deal?
We I'm not sure. They haven't got the itinerary to us yet, but I do know that Susie and I will be there for a period of time, and I would imagine that we would be there during the 15th.
All right, and then you'll be there for the...
It's about an eight-hour drive up from Big Pine Key, where we live, and I feel pretty certain that we'll be there and get to see Bugsy and you know, some of my old buddies.
I will email you the list of people we have so far. You'll be amazed.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we look forward to talking with you again in February and having you back on the air with us, man.
Thank you so much, Pete. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Have a wonderful trip and be safe.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Pete. Good night.
Bye.
And there you have it.
Well, that took me back to my roots just a little bit.
Me too. Oh, my goodness.
He name-dropped, real quick, he name-dropped Butchie Walsh, who used to drive midgets. And I seen a post on here on the message board a couple weeks back. They were talking about the safety in that. And one of the, it was actually a video, and they said, what's wrong with this video? One of the replies to that was the gentleman was driving with his thumbs under the steering wheel, like wrapped around it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pete Hamilton used to drive, and of course, the midget cars, the steering wheels are flat almost. They're almost parallel to the ground. Well, he used to drive. What was most comfortable for him was to kind of hook his thumb underneath the fork of the steering wheel on either side. Well, he hit the wall one time really hard. And to this day, his thumbs actually are as long as his middle finger.
Who is that?
Butchie Walsh.
Oh, okay.
And because all that extra tissue in there on your thumb was dug out. And if he saw anybody to this day drive with their thumbs around or hooked under a steering wheel, he would just go nuts on them and teach them not to do that.
I saw that on the Karnak board, yep. And I was wondering what they were talking about.
And we will be right back with Wayne Calkins, Levi Parsons, Todd Hutto, Don Rehm, and see what other kind of trouble we can get into.
Hurry back.
Presentation of Real Racing USA.
Karnak.com, your online racing community since 1997. Karnak.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Karnak.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Karnak gets it done.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Welcome back to Inside Florida Racing. We've got Mark Keeler here with us, Carol Wicks, Jack Smith, and on the line, we've been waiting for Wayne Calkins, and we finally got him here. Wayne, you online?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Well, it's been pretty tough getting you here one way or another, but we did it.
Yeah, that's the way I travel. It's tough to get there, but we're always there.
It's all that matters is that you're here. So tell us a little bit about your figure eight racing. Man, I'll tell you, I saw you guys down at Charlotte County Speedway, and I've yet to see anything that even comes close to being that exciting.
Oh, it's a lot of hard work, you know, with having to travel nowadays. And Punta Gorda was definitely one of our tracks we loved, you know. Right after our track shut down, we came down there and raced a lot. I raced my school bus and my race car, and we started out pretty good, and then things started to weed off a little bit, and figure eight drivers happen to travel too far, and same with us. We have to travel at least an hour and a half every week just to put on a show, and there's nothing I'd rather do, you know, putting on a figure eight show. The people are there at the end. They love to see you. They support us. It's pretty good.
Tell us about your recent trip up to Indianapolis.
Well, Indy, boy, that was a lot of hard work. We showed up, we were undergunned. You know, I had enough power in the motor and the car. I was way under chassis. And we worked for 3 days and had to buy springs and kind of horse trade this and that. The people in Indy are the greatest people I've ever met. They welcomed us with open arms. They offered us this and that. Half the guys gave us the stuff for free. You couldn't ask for better people or a better place to go race.
Wow.
But 3 days worth, boy, I was telling you, I'm glad to be home and running the other week, that's for sure. But we learned a lot up there. We're going to be better prepared for next year. And, you know, I always go to win, no matter what, whether I finish 5th or 10th or 100th. I'm always there to win. We always have a good time. So we just got to keep up our hard work and plan on next year.
Who was the nutcase that started this idea?
Well, I tell you what, we're in our 31st year of that. And
wow.
What I hear, years ago, they used to come here a lot. They would travel here and do Citrus and Auburndale and Sunshine in like a 10-day sweep. They'd race about 2 times every track. And I loved to be around back then, boy, to race 3 different tracks and have like a championship thing going on. And these guys are more like late models. There is no stock car at all.
What's the track like there where you were racing, man? Describe that for us that haven't been there.
The track is totally flat. If you have 6 degrees of banking, you're lucky. And the track I raced at for years was Sunshine. It's 1/4 mile. This is 0.22 miles.
Wow.
It's just a little bit shorter, and you put 32 late models on a track running figure eight, it'd just blow your mind. You've never seen nothing like it in your life.
Do you guys do a lot of training together? I mean, you have to be doing split second precision timing to do what you do.
It's all in the person. When I showed up there, and
this ain't the Blue Angels.
The caliper they're running, you know, there's a few of us. You know, and we never get hit. I haven't had one bad crash in the intersection, which I like that because I'm timing myself pretty good. You know, when you can't make it, you don't. So when you can, you can. And up there, these guys love to go through the intersection. We don't like to hit each other, but we like to make it look really good.
Well, should you do that?
Wayne, when down here in Florida, have you ever raced in the figure eights with that crazy man from Auburndale?
Which one? Rodney Davis?
Yeah, Rockin' Rodney.
Rodney, yeah. He's become a real good friend of mine. Me and him had a little incident, and we got over it. And He is a blast. I tell you what, he's won a lot of races. He's won the Ice Lift in New York, and he's run up there, and they've always hated him because he was always fast. But Rodney, he's a real good friend of mine, and I'd like to see him come back. He's had some health problems. He's laid out for a little while, but boy, that guy is a nutcase.
He runs
to the extreme.
Yeah, and when he wins and he gets on top of the car, you wonder if there's going to be a car left.
Well, he's a showman. You know what I'm saying? He likes to put on a show, no matter if it's before or after the race. It doesn't matter.
Well, when we talk on the phone, you said you had a lot to talk about, so let's hear it.
Oh, I tell you what, Indy was just a joy. We went over and we seen the big track, did the tour, did the museum. There's a lot to see there, and the Indianapolis Colts were playing one night, so it was like the whole town was just pumped up the whole time we were there, and half the people didn't know nothing about the figure eight race, and you get to the other side of the beltway there, and they were all pumped up about the figure eight race, and like I said, we were kind of undergunned, and the day we showed up to qualify, because we didn't make it in the heat races, we were getting faster and faster and faster, and then the rain came, and it kind of, you know, it rained on my parade, because I was expecting by the time qualifying was over, I was going to be in the race. You know, I would have started towards the back, but I'd have been in there for every lap, you know, green to checkered, and unfortunately, about 25 minutes to go, I must have punctured a hole in the oil pan, and I didn't know that. The throttle had stuck, and I kind of went up and brazed the wall, and I pulled in. I told the guys, this ain't worth, you know, crashing everything for. I still have a car left. You know, just by the looks of the field, we're in the top 20. So we couldn't argue with that, starting 38th out of 51 cars, and when I got out of the car and sat down and changed my uniform, the oil was just draining out the oil pan. So it's kind of a sign to me, hey, I'm glad that happened. It parked me, and I didn't tear everything up that I bring there to race. You know, I'll have something to bring next year. And we learned a lot. For 3 days, it was constant work. We had a lot of fun. You know, it was kind of hard in a motel parking lot to work on the car, but we all got it done. We all survived. We brought home everybody, brought home the car. It was a great trip.
We're talking here with on Inside Florida Racing with Wayne Calkins. Wayne, when you went up there, now how many cars showed up for this event, and were you the only team from Florida?
No, they had there's actually John Laval and Gordon Brown, Seth Nistop. They there's three other cars that they have run Punta Gorda too. They were the real fancy looking car looking things at one time.
Yep.
And those were the cars that went up there with me. You know, I tagged along with them last year. That's how I got the shot in the vein to go back, you know.
Yeah, John had come to me last year. As a matter of fact, I took pictures of his cars down there. He had them on display, and he'd come to me, and we'd talk several times, and he was bugging me, and he was driving everybody crazy talking about he wanted to bring back, you know, the figure eights and get things going in Florida again, and I haven't heard from John in a while. I'm glad to hear he's still at it.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely at it. He's talking about retiring, but once you get there and he races, he's ready for next year, you know. But then it comes along, all the hard work, and that's the only race they really prepare for. You know, they showed up there on media day to show what they got, you know, which is those are some of the best cars there. That's one of the cars I ran last year. So, you know, John and Gordon, they want to get this class moving here in Florida. It's kind of hard to do because everybody thinks figure eight guys, they're all crazy. They should be, you know, just junker cars out there beating each other up.
No.
No.
You go to that intersection and you miss each other, you know, it's got the hair standing up on the back of the fans.
Absolutely.
They're all rooting you on. They want to see it.
There is.
They got a good point. They want to bring a good class here. You know, a lot of guys don't want to have it. It's hard to get the figure eight class going. But this is all the guys do in Indy. Nothing but late model figure eight.
I'll tell you, if you have, I remember in the mid, in the mid-90s, the pro figure eights raced at DeSoto 1 week, and I guess the next week they'd be at Auburndale.
Yeah.
Remember that? I just got to think. I mean, those guys were dedicated. They were dedicated to what they were doing, and I really think today that would be one of the bigger draws because, you know, you go remember back over. I mean, you got to miss Sunshine being closed yourself, particularly, but man, nothing like them cars in Florida going through that X. I mean, at, like you said, I mean, you couldn't help your hair stand up on your neck. I mean,
Wayne, I talked to Bobby Deal and Linda, and they're ready to talk.
Really?
Yes, sir.
I'll check up with them and see what they got. You know, it's they're going to have to get some people there interested too. You know, and figure eight. Everybody thinks it's so dangerous, and it is. It is the most.
It's the word is exciting. It is. It's to sit on the edge of your seat. It's incredible. I've never seen anything that's as exciting as what you guys do. And the more cars, the better.
What does it cost, Wayne, to have like a real pro figure eight type car?
Real pro eight, you're somewhere around $5,000 to $8,000, $8,000. The car I took up there, I probably only got about 10 in it. But I bought it, you know, already raced. So what they had in it was probably quite a bit more. You know, and that's an Indy late model, a pro figure eight down here. What they used to be, $5,000 to $8,000, you know, you had a really good car. You don't have to have the best motor in figure eight. And a lot of guys are getting away from making the chassis handle and they're getting this big bad motor and they're gonna drag race you down the straightaway. When short track racing, it's not a drag race. It's a handling race. So, it you know, it gets a little out of hand sometimes. The guys in Indy, it doesn't matter what they bring. They'll make it hook up to the track no matter what. You know, they're years beyond us already.
So it doesn't actually cost, it costs no more to have a Pro Figure 8 car than it does like a bomber.
Basically, you know, a lot of guys, they're spending, you know, what, $3,000 on a crate motor and $3,000 on their car. You know, yeah, pretty basic. I've even thought about buying a crate motor. Some of them crate motors are a little bit up there in the money, but they got a little more horsepower and they're making a lot of torque. And I'm like, man, I could probably run pretty decent with this at a local short track.
Yeah. So how bad do you miss Sunshine, man?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, it's. I hope this one day see it open again. The thing was, is I, you know, I've got a son and he was right there at the doorstep waiting. And then when they closed and I have to travel and it's kind of put a damper on trying to get something going for my younger youth, you know, for my Ken. And it's kind of hurt me a lot, you know, when you have to travel 150 miles every weekend or 200 miles just to race, you know, you're what I had to put into his racing is now taking up my racing.
When I went to the Sunshine reunion, I was totally amazed at the amount of people that feel the same way as you do. Their hearts are broken. They're just, it's almost like their house burned down and they got nowhere to go.
Did you go to that event, Wayne?
Oh yes, I was there for sure. I was on I think it was Bill Green was doing a little thing and they got me in there somehow. I don't know how
well,
they got me in there.
Yeah, I thought so. There's so many people there, I couldn't remember it all. But
That was so surprising. I was really actually glad to see it because I saw
Cliff Rousseau was there too.
Wayne, the total number, according to the management of the restaurant, was 1,800 people.
Really?
Yeah. And
it was unbelievable.
And Bill Hunt, who is doing the producing a video of the event, we reviewed it the other day, and we're just putting some finishing touches on it, and it's going to be a 2.5-hour video, and it should be ready within the next couple of weeks. And
wow!
Yeah,
I'll definitely have to get that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. What I've seen of it is pretty cool. But
well, that's neat. Is that the same internet service that Bill Green was doing that night? You guys the same?
Oh yeah. We had a video guy there, Bill Hunt, who was. speedimages.net, and he was producing a video, and you know we were just adding some finishing touches to the production because he's you know trying to make a really good production out of the whole deal.
All right, great.
Yeah,
we'll definitely have to get a copy of that. That was a pretty neat night there.
Wayne, when is your next race up at Citrus?
We're racing this Saturday up there at Citrus.
Okay, how about the next one after that?
we race every 2 weeks there. So
oh, okay.
After that. And
what do you usually have for a car count?
Oh, shoot. They used to have 20 cars.
Oh, my goodness. I know I'm going to Citrus. There's no doubt about it.
We've had up to 24, 26 cars at one time. And you want to talk about mayhem on a racetrack? It is definitely exciting. But they threw a couple races in at Auburndale. One, I believe, next month and one in November. So I had to check on the date. I thought it was towards the end of October and then like the second week of November. So we're going to be over there twice next, once next month and once towards the end of the year.
Well, I know I'm going to be up there pretty soon because I can't wait to see another race of yours.
Oh, yeah, I tell you what, Figure Eight is, we're a show on its own, and the way it's going is kind of killing the class, you know, with Sunshine not being open. Everybody goes to Citrus. Well, nobody in Citrus wants to come, you know, to Auburndale or Punta Gorda or anywhere else we run other than Bronson.
Two or three tracks would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. You know, we kind of got it good because when you travel, you know, if you do tear your car up, we don't have to worry about it for next week. You got 2 weeks to fix it. But, I mean, if you threw a race in here and a race in there, you know, and with Bronson, Auburndale, and Punta Gorda, we could do that, you know, once a month here or there. At least put on the big show and get 20 cars, you know, that'll bring a crowd.
Yeah, sounds cool, man. Well, glad you could spend some time with us. And
oh, not a problem.
Oh, me too. I've been after waiting for this for, what are we on now, the 3 weeks, Wayne?
Yeah. After Sunshine closed, I haven't had no air time.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, we definitely want to have you back on again, and I tell everybody I know how exciting you guys are, so.
Great. Well, we'll have to get you a little bit of video of that three-hour race. Maybe I can play it up there at the track or on your website or something.
Oh, awesome.
Cool. All right.
And get down there and talk to Bobby Deal, will you?
I definitely will give him a holler, see what he wants to do.
Thank you so much, Wayne. I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm glad everything worked out good for you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on. Y'all have a great week.
Talk to you soon, man.
You too. Night, Wayne.
Wayne Calkins, Figure Eights, man. Yeah. They can talk about school buses all day long. Nah.
There's
any pro Figure Eight cars, man. It's
nothing
awesome.
Compares to this.
Scary.
What's up over there? You look like a Cheshire cat.
Hey, you know, now, wait a minute. We're going to get Levi.
Look at this guy.
We're going to get Levi Parsons on with us here in a few minutes. But, you know, our buddy Mark Keeler here's got an announcement. But, you know, let's just throw out a couple of little rumors.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Do they involve me?
Media time.
I have, you know that old Johnny Carson thing? If I had the hat, I'd have it on.
The Carnac hat. Yeah.
What's in the magic envelope?
Yeah, the magic envelope. I see cars racing around that third mile up at Bronson on a weekly basis. I see it in the future. I see it coming, man. I really do. I see it. It's somewhere out there. But we'll just have to wait and see. And
can I have some of that
I'll
stuff,
I'll tell you what,
too?
just all in all, there's going to be some changes coming to Florida racing.
I think a lot of changes are already starting to be made.
I think so.
I think a lot of things are looking up in a lot of different directions.
In the positive way, yes.
Absolutely.
I agree.
You know, there's always going to be, well, what if they did this? What if they did that? What if they did this? If everybody had all the answers, then they'd already be the ones in charge.
Really?
I mean, honestly, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to bash anybody, because I've had my fair share of thoughts where I'm like, well, why wouldn't they do this, or why wouldn't they do that? And, you know, sometimes all you got to do is ask somebody. Me and Carol, me and you have talked before. I talk to Rusty Marcus almost on a daily basis, and I'd say I've come up with probably 30 excellent ideas for him, and he's given me the reason why you don't do almost all 30 of them. And they've all been valid reasons. And all you got to do is ask some questions sometimes, and you'll realize why. You may not like the answer, but like I said last week, you're going to get an answer. And you have to look at it from every different point of view.
You're absolutely right. It's not always, it's not what you ask. It's the way you ask it.
Right. Oh, come on now. The damn promoters don't know what they're doing.
Well, maybe they don't, but it's their thing. They can do what they want.
You ever heard that before?
No comment.
We're just teasing here.
Hey, we didn't have make the announcement yet, right?
No.
Okay, well, we're going to have to hold on.
We're going to
have to hold on to this big announcement about, is this about Orlando?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, well, we have, welcome Levi Parsons, racer from Auburndale, Florida.
Hey, welcome to the show, Levi.
Hello.
Let me tell you something, your dad is your biggest fan.
Oh, he supports me in everything I do.
Hold on just a second.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
That's just our phone connection.
Oh, okay.
The phones running into Polk County from this part of the world are funky sometimes.
Does it sound clear to you, Levi?
Yeah, I can change phones real quick and then see if that's the problem.
Because I'm getting a lot of feedback.
Phone changing time here. Is phone changing? Mark, this is called radio phone changing time.
Do you have the Jeopardy theme?
Yeah, the Jeopardy theme. No, but, well, I don't know. You know, we got all kinds of crazy things here. I don't know if we got that one or not.
Are you there, Levi? Oh, he's changing phones.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yep, can hear you.
You got me?
Jack.
There's a man here that just escaped from the loony bin.
Welcome to Inside Florida Racing, Levi.
Are you there, Levi?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay,
now we're going to try to get a little bit professional now that all this goofy stuff is over. Your father has been raving about you. He said you started racing about the age of 10.
Yeah, I started racing karts at the old Lakeland go-kart track beside USA Speedway there, and started my career fairly young. Actually, got started. I went and watched my cousins, Travis and Maverick, race out there at the old Lakeland go-kart track, and went and watched them, and haven't stopped racing ever since then.
Your dad also happened to mention that you're a 4.0 average student.
Yes, and that's one thing that I myself strive on is making sure my grades will always come before racing in all aspects. I mean, college is also very important to me, and getting in some type of engineering to help me further my racing career and to make bigger steps.
Amazing. Can you imagine this? An intelligent, striving teenager. My goodness.
I couldn't keep a 4.0 without racing.
Plus the fact his dad told me that he could be out till 3 or 4 in the morning getting racing stuff done and never, ever missed a Sunday at church.
Correct. I mean, I go to a local community church. I mean, it's a lot of guys that own their own businesses, and we all have fun. And I mean, church is also a very important part of me. I guess he's the one that put me here, so I'll live by him, and that's what I'm going to do, and I plan on doing that also through racing and just, just trying to do what I can to serve him and serve the racing community as well.
Well, if you are as focused with racing as you are with your life, man, you're going to go places.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I strive to do what I, as much as I can to, you know, also help anybody else in the racing community, and like I said, I strive to go to church on Sundays and just be the best person that I can to not only my family, but just all the racing community around me.
So, are you racing sprints? What are you racing right now?
Right now, I'm racing at the local track here at Arbondale Speedway, modified mini stock.
Okay.
Right now, but I mean, I've had some past experiences in racing, actually a few different things. I raced karts for the most of my career on clay and dirt oval tracks, and then I had an opportunity to race, I'm guessing they call them quarter midgets. It's been a while since I ran them, but they ran off of, like, almost a snowmobile motor, and they were just miniaturized from a sprint car, and we got on that for a few races, and I moved my career on up to, I ran a fast truck for two or three races, one at Arbondale and one at Orlando, and just a few things, and then it's led us back to where we come from, and that's right here at our home track, and racing at Arbondale, and I support our local track as much as we can. I mean, we do
good.
Everything that we can for our fans, and like, we just, the fans is what keep this sport growing, and that, without fans, you don't have racing, you don't, I mean.
That's exactly fans, what Pete Hamilton just said, NASCAR star.
And without that, I mean, without fans, you don't have racing or any sport at all.
I see you race sprints on dirt, too.
Right, and that was an exciting part of my career. I raced that with a group of guys, we called it Gadget Racing, and I think these guys were out of the Tampa area, and we went and we got the sprint car from him, and as long as you maintain the car was given to us as almost like a sponsorship, and we ran with a group of probably 30, 40 guys, and they had a kids division and an adult division, and we raced those for a little bit, and then, like I said, we moved on, and hopefully I can make bigger steps and jump into bigger water holes, I guess you could say.
Hey, Levi, this is Mark Keeler. How you doing?
Good.
Quick question. You got to settle a long-standing argument between me and a lot of the other folks on the message board. Which is better, dirt or asphalt?
I would have dirt is exciting. I cannot deny that dirt is so exciting. I mean, it's intense. I mean, your reaction time is, you have to be able to move the vehicle. I mean, so dirt, you can't react as quick. And dirt, whenever I race the carts, I mean, you're sitting an inch off the ground moving 60, 70 mile an hour. I mean, it's so far, I would have to say that dirt is pretty exciting. Even though I'm on asphalt now, dirt's probably been the most exciting.
That's an excellent answer. I was talking to somebody not too long ago. I said I'd like to... The carts on dirt just look fun. Do you find that there's... I mean, I know it's serious. You're still racing. You're still going fast. I mean, there's still the danger aspects of it and all that and the thrill. But how much fun is it to be sitting out there on a go-kart slinging it sideways just inches from the dirt? I mean, is it more fun than anything?
I mean, racing's always fun. If you do racing to go out there, I mean, not... You can't do it for the money. You have to do it for if you don't do it for the fun, you're not racing, and you might as well not even do the sport. I mean, the racing's for fun. I do it as a hobby. I mean, hopefully it will grow to a career, yes. But I mean, as far as the sport, you can't. You have to do it for the fun, and that's what I enjoy the most about it, is for fun. Me and my dad. I mean, we have our gripes every now and then, but I mean, the sport. It's fun to us, and that's what we enjoy the most about it. I mean, it's just what we like to do.
Do you ever read the message boards, Levi?
I do every now and then, and whenever I'm not in school or working on the car, I got a few.
What do you think about the Karnak board?
The Karnak board, well, I mean, a lot of mixed opinions on there about a lot of things, and, you know, I'd rather talk to a person face-to-face a lot of times about their opinions about me or anybody else. I mean, I like a person that's going to be up front. I mean, a lot of things the board is just, it's just a thing to get information out there. I feel to other racers, but I mean, I like posting my opinion sometimes, but like I said, I like to talk to people face-to-face as much as possible, and, you know, just, if you have other opinions, keep them to yourself, and just let's go racing on Saturday night.
Good answer, good answer.
Hey, so what's your screen name on Karnak?
Well, I mean, I go on there. I post my opinions too. I'd rather talk to a person face to face, but you know.
We're just playing with you.
We're just having a good time, Levi.
Yeah.
You know, Levi, I just decided you're a very smart young man.
Yes.
Because you didn't tell him the answer. See, you don't have to answer every question somebody in the media asks you. That was a
Sometimes
good choice.
Sometimes you're better off not answering.
Yeah, he probably gained some fans by answering that question.
So how cool is it at Auburndale these days, man?
Well, I mean, like I said, racing around here, this is a small town. I mean, as far as no, most of the races that are at Auburndale Speedway, it's a local track. I mean, I love the track. If you can drive you a short track, you can drive you a big track, and that's what a lot of people say about the place. And right now, as far as the track promoters, Rex Guy and Ken Hyde are doing a great job at that track. I feel the track is moving forward. The track, I mean, there's too much to list. I mean, the track is going forward, definitely. I raced there about a half a year earlier, and just a lot of missed calls on the track, a lot of, you know, bad judgment, but a lot of the races there are, I mean, in my modified mini class, a lot of us guys, four or five of us park right beside each other, and it's a community thing, and I guess, I mean, a lot of us guys like each other, and we just enjoy racing.
Well, I know you're on the message board because that's how your dad got my email address to promote you.
Right, and I mean, I like to, you know, like I said, I do the best I can in all aspects, and if I can, you know, get a promotion or almost like a job, I guess. If I can move on, I'll move on. I mean, I'm just looking for any opportunities out there, and we're just trying the best we can. I mean, we're not the, like I said, got the most money in the world, but we're hard racers, and we're going to do as best we can with what we got.
Who are some of your sponsors, Levi?
My sponsors, I got my own business. I got just started about a month and a half ago, and I'm really enjoying doing that. I own Icon Graphics, and it's located right here in Arvindale. And then I picked up Red Sports Center. They do custom screen printing and embroidering, and they're out of Lakeland, Florida. Then also the biggest person he shot my career from the earth to the moon in a matter of months. I mean, that'd be Jim Spooner and his wife, Rosie. I mean, they've done so much for me to help build a new car. We got a new car being built in our garage right now that's in progress that we should have ready for the October 6th race at Arvindale, the 75-lap modified mini race. But, I mean, Jim and Rosie, they're just an individual that I had talked to at an old workplace, and they've helped me out ever since, and they're great people, and all these guys that have Red Sports Center, they've helped us do a lot of our team shirts and support us as much as they can, and then we start Moon Graphics business is helping keep my car looking good every week for the fans. So, I mean, it's rolling, and I appreciate there's so many more people that I'm sure I'm forgetting, but that have helped me along the way, and like I said, I appreciate it, and I'm sorry if I missed anybody.
What are your aspirations for the future? Are you do you have big plans for racing, or what are you studying in college? That where are you going after this?
Well, right now I'm a senior at Arvindale High School, and I'm in an OJT program, which lets me out of school early to go to my workplace. I mean, it's nice that I'm my own business and all, and that's really helped me out. But I plan on going to a local community college here and doing mechanical engineering and learning more about angles and, I mean, whatever I can on to help myself move on. And, I mean, racing is what I love to do, and it's a part of me and my family. My dad, for a lot of years, was at Arvindale Speedway, and once I move on through college, hopefully I get enough experience that, I mean, if I get into some aspect, you have to start at the bottom, whether it be sweeping floors in a garage for a cup team or anything.
Mm.
I'm there willing to do anything. I mean, a foot in the door is better than, you know, just sitting at home on a couch, you know, and that's what I'm striving to do. I mean, just to, like I said, whether it be mopping a floor or sweeping a floor, I'm there. And that's how a lot of these guys get started, to get their name out there. And I'm willing to do anything to help my career move forward.
Well, we certainly here at Inside Florida Racing wish you the best of everything. And thank you so much for being on the show. We got to move on here, and we wish you the very best in your education and your racing. And thank you so much for being a guest.
All right, I appreciate it, Carol.
You have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Levi Parsons.
Nice kid. We need more Levi Parsons in the world.
Definitely has a level head on his shoulders,
yes,
doesn't he?
Yes, definitely.
So, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to it now.
Speaking of level heads.
My curiosity has just been piqued. It's been...
he can't stand it anymore.
I can't stand it anymore. I've been waiting
on
for 1 hour and 27 minutes.
Okay.
To hear about what's happening at Orlando Speed World.
Big news out of Bithlow, Florida. Just got off the phone with Rusty, as I said, before we got on the air. It's in the preliminary stages right now, so there's nothing set in stone, but it is going to happen. The details aren't set in stone. But Orlando Speed World is going to present the Orlando Speed World Winter Heat Series, a five-week racing series during the winter. A lot of what it's geared towards is people looking for seat time. You know, stuff like that. People that, you know, have some bugs they want to get worked out before the season starts. But it is going to be a five-week series, probably 2 weeks in December, 3 weeks in January. Right now, like I said, they're in the preliminary phase trying to figure out what divisions they're going to have run. But definitely, if you are a racer and you're interested in getting your division on there, get a hold of Rusty Marcus at the track. He's there every Friday, every Saturday. This Saturday, he'll actually be out at New Smyrna, but every Friday, every Saturday. And, of course, you can always go onto the website at orlandospeedworld.org and keep up to date on what's going on. But Orlando Speed World will be running a winter series this winter, 2 weeks in December, 3 weeks in January.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool, wow. Huh?
That was worth waiting for.
Five races?
Five races? Right now, the way it looks is going to be 5 weeks. As I said, he doesn't have the classes or the divisions decided yet. I think a lot of what they're going to look for, too, is some sponsorship, so maybe they can get a points fund established for some of the guys. This is a new venture for him, and, you know, Rusty's no stranger to taking giant leaps. I think this is going to work out to be a good one, especially weather-wise. Well, here's what it'll be, though, and I forgot to mention this, too, which he told me. The races will be run on Saturday afternoons.
Oh, that's different.
So here's the thing. December and January, it can get mighty cold at night. What he's looking at right now is running Saturday afternoons around 1 p.m. or so. So the sun's still out.
January, February? Is that
what we're doing? December and January.
Oh, December and January.
And actually, if anybody, depending on what divisions he has come out there, I mean, you know, it could be super stocks, could be super late models, modifieds, legends, bandoleros. There's no telling. But like I said, if your division is interested in being a part of it, I'm not making any guarantees by any means, but he wants to see what kind of interest there is there. This is a great way to start. Maybe it won't be the biggest event this year, but he's trying to build on and just see what's out there. See what kind of interest there is, not only from the racers, but from the fans as well. So Orlando Speed World Winter Heat Series.
Imagine that.
Yep.
Well, wow, that's pretty cool.
And you broke it right here on Inside Florida Racing.
Yeah. That's cool. Go ahead.
Now, I want to know why you have an NFL site on your computer screen, Jack.
Well, I was going to wear my green shirt today, the one that has number 4 on it, but I forgot at the last minute.
What team is that?
Brett Favre did pretty good yesterday.
Favre.
Yeah, he did pretty good last night. But this guy that plays for the Titans is kind of interesting. Mr. Young's pretty good. But Wednesday night Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, we have moved the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane show. I got a kick out of somebody. I don't read that Florida message board, except I've got a pact now with the devil. I only read it once every 2 weeks. And people that know me really well can attest that I did, because people call me up and ask me questions. I know nothing about it. So I hadn't looked at it for 2 weeks. And so I checked it out yesterday. It was funny. Some guys were on there talking about how the ASA Late Model Series is like a former shell of itself and all this stuff, you know. Because they were talking about like in the old days when people like Rusty Wallace and Mark Martin.
Dick Trickle.
Yeah, and those guys raced it. Well, it's interesting, you know, because we've, of course, we interviewed Butch Miller, who's one of those guys, recently, and we talked to Gary St. Amon, you know, one of those guys, and so forth. And some of the older, old-timers from the Midwest that we've not interviewed on the air, but we've talked to off the air. And it's really fascinating because we don't get that at all from those guys. Those guys, just like Pete Hamilton talked about, like he said, he didn't take anything away from these new guys. You know, the young guys in NASCAR today?
He had an interesting point of view on it.
Yeah.
And one that I haven't heard really before. Maybe I just haven't heard it explained quite like that.
Yep.
It was actually kind of refreshing, and I'm by no means a huge fan of NASCAR and what they've done and where they're going. But I think you gotta lend a little weight to what he said.
Yep.
Especially when he's talking about the 10% of the fans looking for an autograph. 10% of 50,000 versus 10% of 100,000.
Yeah.
He made a lot of sense. It was definitely a surprising point of view that I never thought to look at.
Well,
like
you know,
that.
You can, people, obviously there's a lot of people who've been upset about, like, NASCAR taking away the short tracks. And then there's, you know, people upset about this, that, or the other thing. But, you know, this marketing machine that they have put together over the last 20 years is just out there.
They definitely formulated the business model. And, in my opinion, if you took part of their business model, but took part of what short track racing was, and combined the two, then you're going to have a successful program. I don't think you should go entirely their way, because then it becomes only about the money, not about the show, not about the fans in the stands, not about the drivers in the pits and all that. It becomes about the money. But unfortunately, and Jack, you know this as well as anybody, it takes money to do all this stuff.
Yeah, and you know, that was what I was bringing up with the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane show, and I got off on a tangent there, but the You talk to these old timers, they don't see that this is a shell at all. They are extremely excited. And the talent level of the youngsters in the ASA, these are some of the best race car drivers coming up. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. This kid, Bo Slocum, Edwards, Carl Edwards came down to Georgia and personally worked to help that kid get sponsorship because he's damn good. Bo Slocum's damn good. But Brandon Johnson, this is what I was getting to. Brandon Johnson is an amazing young man to me. We've watched this kid all year in this ASA thing. He is doing this with, I mean, worse than a shoestring. And he is one of the top performers in the series in the South. And he went out there to I-70 Speedway. He led a whole bunch of the race. And he went out there. He wasn't even sure he was going to be able to go just a couple of days before the event. And we're going to have him on Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. He'll be one of the guests that we have on the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane this Wednesday night.
I'm going to have to listen to that one.
Yeah, Brandon's pretty
special. He's also very accomplished in the trucks. And I've seen him quite a few times racing Doros, too. So it seems like if it has four wheels and he can get behind the wheel, he's going
to
race it.
Yeah, he just quietly goes about taking care of business. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back with Mr. Todd Hutto.
And I want to tell everybody about Rocktoberfest at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
No.
That's
bad company. That's very bad company.
Uh-huh, you got it. We will talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, it's bad company, man.
Land and business to new heights, then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
It is time. Yes, we are back live. Everybody off their cell phones. Everybody out of the pool. And I'll tell you what. Why don't we... How would you guys like to talk to Mr. Todd Hutto from East Bay Raceway Park?
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
It's going fine. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good. We haven't talked to you for a while. This is good.
Yeah, we tend to try to stay busy over here and get a little racing done from time to time.
Yeah, when it don't rain.
Yeah, when it don't rain like Saturday night, we got swamped Saturday night, so Saturday night wasn't a good night. But all in all, it's been a pretty good year. I've had a lot of racing, had pretty good car counts, and I even got to get away one time to see Jack somewhere other than the state of Florida. So.
Jeez.
Imagine that. Yeah, we escaped.
I didn't know there was another place.
So, Todd, what's this ugly rumor that you got motorcycles coming to East Bay Raceway Park?
Oh.
Yeah, basically I just want to try to throw a little wrench in, I guess, into it and just do something a little bit different. So I got with the Ron Galletti and the guys from Born to Ride magazine and TV show and put together an 8-class motorcycle custom bike show for this weekend, just to kind of interface the racing community and the bike community together. And been doing a little motorcycle racing on some of the off weeks. We've had some flat track motorcycle racing. This will be the first custom bike show. And then in December, actually, we're going to put it all together as one big event. So I'm kind of doing little bits and pieces, working together for one big event towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
So are you going to be racing motorcycles, or is this just going to be the custom motorcycle show?
This weekend will be the custom motorcycle show.
Okay.
If you ride up on a motorcycle, you and your passenger, we got one passenger, I guess, or maybe five. I don't know how you get five of them on there. But anyway, it's $10 a person to get in if you're on a motorcycle this weekend. It's special.
What do you classify as a motorcycle?
Nice try.
How about this? If you ride up on it and ain't got no fenders and it's not open wheel modified, we classify it as
these racing people are always trying to break the rules.
So,
Todd,
so if you take the fenders off of Vespa, that'll count.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
like I say, just something a little bit different this weekend. It's been promoting it a lot in some of the different motorcycle magazines and some of the different establishments going over to Quaker State and Lube Wednesday night, doing some stuff with them guys, and just looking at a whole different avenue, a little bit of different type of advertising, and see what happens.
It's a way to hit. Now, you've done a lot of different things here in the last few years. I mean, you've tried different things. You did a lot of you guys went out and talk to people in schools and did car shows and little events like that. Are you still doing some of that type of stuff? And did that accomplish what you wanted it to?
Yeah, well, I still do that. And I believe it accomplishes a little bit here and there. I mean, I go out and spend a lot of time in different schools. I mean, from Sarasota all the way to New Tampa, basically, from one end of 75 to the other, and in Hillsborough County all the way to Lakeland, Polk County area, and just try to hit the schools and the kids and explain to them what the racing's all about and actually how, you know, I got involved in racing and how it helped me in school through the years and how I become, you know, one of the owners of the track itself and what all is involved with it. And it opens their eyes, you know, it's a pretty neat deal. And we've gained, in my opinion, we've gained a lot of go-kart racers out of it because it opens their eyes to the fact they can race go-karts.
And you got a lot of positive media from the mainstream media, too, right?
Exactly. As most of us know, a Saturday night local short track, you know, it's kind of hard to get in the Braithwaite Herald or the Tampa Tribune or St. Pete Times. And you have to find the niche or the, you know, the human interest stories to allow yourself to be in the paper. So you have to go out and make those contacts, do different types of things. It may not be just the racing. It may be, for instance, our tire changer at East Bay, Gene Slaughter, he's actually blind. Many people don't even know that he's blind.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
But he's been a tire changer for years, and that type of story, you know, through the Tampa Tribune, they would pick it up to where they're, say, if a guy like Roger Krause or David Smouse or somebody like that wins five features, it's not a big deal to them sometimes. So we try to find those human interest stories in different ways to get ourselves in the press and get ourselves in the paper to get East Bay's name in front of everybody.
And Jack would have jumped right on that story. You should have seen his face.
And so the deal with the motorcycles is more of just the overall strategy of like trying different avenues to reach different types of publics.
Exactly. Yeah, we need to you know, you can turn on the TV and obviously catch NASCAR 24 hours a day, and there are people that watch NASCAR 24 hours a day, and then there are your weekenders, your armchair quarterbacks that just watch a portion of the race, or maybe like me, watch the last five laps to see who wins. They don't care about the rest of it. But, you know, we got to get it in front of everybody. And there's many different avenues, many different ways to do that. And I've just taken a little different approach than some of the other promoters and some of the other people have in the past. And I'm trying to live basically in 2007 and beyond and see what kind of different relations and different media stuff that we need to do to get people to our racetrack.
Todd, I got a question. Do you find it's more effective to actually maybe sit down one-on-one with a smaller group of people, or to go out in some of your Main Street media and go after the larger groups of people? Which do you think do you find to be more effective for promoting auto racing?
Today, I would have to say the one-on-one type is probably the best. I think if you get in front of a larger group and you don't have that personal touch or that one-on-one, you tend to lose them. And one of my reasons for saying that is because if you go to any track today and pick up a program, if you're a new person, you've never been to the racetrack, and I'm very guilty myself, we do not teach the new people coming to our racetrack enough about what goes on, what the flags mean.
Amen.
You know, what the flagman does, what the race director does, you know, what the scorers do. And these people kind of show up and it's like, well, they seen racing, but if it wasn't that entertaining and we didn't show them a good time, they're not coming back.
That's right.
And all of us in the promotion side of racing, and even some of the fans, our local fans that bring a new person to the racetrack, can help us create the awareness out there that we all need to make more fans and make better fans of ourselves, you know. I was born in racing, so I kind of knew from a young age what everything meant, what everything does, and how it's supposed to work, I guess. And today, I think a lot of us that are in this, we forget that, you know, if you're a new person going to a new sporting event, we got to teach them.
Todd, I tell you, man, I think that is that just didn't hit the nail on the head, man. That is the whole deal. You know, when I started going to DeSoto Speedway in the mid-90s, it was maddening trying to, because you didn't know what the flags were. These classes of cars all look the same to a newcomer, to a person who's been to the track all, that goes to the racetrack all the time. Now, I mean, you look, you know, that's a mini stock or some semblance thereof, you know.
Sure.
But when somebody's just brand new to this thing, man, you don't know what the classes are. You don't know what, and then you look at the schedule or the program, and it has all these initials LM, MS. You just don't know, you know. And it's like there was no way. It took a long time to get an understanding and asking a lot of dumb questions, you know.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't want to ask dumb questions, so they don't ask. It's kind of like if you don't know the rules of the game. That was another thing. Like, why does this guy get sent to the rear and all these things? You have no idea why it's happening. And it's, other than the crashes, none of it makes any sense to a person who hasn't been before.
Exactly. And not only that, I mean, if we lose the family, say, that comes in, the family of four, the mom, the dad, and a couple of kids, you know, if we lose that family, who's to say that dad or that son may not have been in one of our next racers? Well, this guy just left the racetrack, and he don't know a whole lot about what's going on. But not only that, we missed the whole point of explaining to this gentleman how to get involved in racing.
Yep.
You know, and I have so many people today that ask me, you know, I mean, my beer representative actually come up Saturday and brought me some posters for the promotion that we're doing next weekend. And one of his questions was, how do I get involved in this? This is a guy that actually comes to my racetrack and delivers product to me, and he does not even know how to get involved. So we got to figure out ways to educate our new people coming in, but yet at the same time, our other race fans that are here on a weekly basis, keep them happy and keep them excited and put on a good show for those fans also.
So this Saturday night now, you got the bike deal. You're expecting 50, 60, 70 people come in there with custom bikes? And
yeah, I'd say we'd have at least 50, may have as many as 100. I mean, I'm not really sure. I know we got a ton of motorcycles coming and a ton of custom bikes that's supposed to be there. And a lot of people. I got two parking lots, so to speak, where we usually park vehicles that'll be roped off because I've had a bunch of interest in this deal. And we're going to give away, like I say, there's going to be 8 different class winners and then an overall winner. We're also doing a TV show taping for Born to Ride TV and photos for the magazine.
Cool.
So somebody may get the opportunity, you know, I wouldn't say for sure, but somebody may get the opportunity to be on the cover of the Born Drive magazine or definitely in the TV program with their motorcycle or whatever. So
that's cool. And everybody who comes will get to see those bad late models.
The late models have been totally awesome. Let me tell you, we had a...
How many laps are they doing?
This weekend it'll be 25 laps.
Mm-hmm.
But which is a normal, regular Saturday night show. But there again, we talk about normal and regular. Well, we had 34 late models, which I don't believe is
normal or
regular for too many tracks around the state of Florida. We've been running 3 heat races. We take 7 out of each heat race, and that locks us into 21. We take everybody else, and they go into one of those wonderful Consy races or B mains. And we take 3 out of the B main for the top 24 cars doing a 25-lap A main.
Todd, do you have a lot of the, you said 34 cars. Are those all Florida cars, or do you have a lot of people coming in from out of state, or are these just all local cars?
Actually, believe it or not, these are all local cars.
Wow. This is the weekly show, guys.
This is the weekly show. We've ran 3 heat races in a Consy, I believe, every Saturday night this year that the late models have ran. But 2 or 3. Other than that, we've ran 3 heat races as a Consy every night this year.
And to put this into perspective and make more message board fodder,
oh, God.
You have asphalt racetracks struggling in a lot of cases, not all cases, there are exceptions, but struggling at some of the big events to get 25 cars to a big event, paying a lot of money. This is the weekly show. You got 30-plus cars, man. That's pretty cool. Dirt is cool.
It's been a good deal. And like I say, a lot of it goes back to the action and to the racing that we see and hopefully to the show that we promote and the show we put on at the Speedway. We start our show a little bit early. It's around 6:30 is when we go racing. But typically by 10:30, no later than 10:45, we're done. I mean, we don't play around. We get up there, we rock and roll, put on a good show, and send everybody home happy.
And them late models are all follow the leader. That's just a follow the leader race, right?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, there's usually one on bottom, 2 in the middle, and 1 on top. And then everybody else is following them 4.
Yeah, turning right to go left.
Yep. But like I say, it's been an awesome show this year, pretty much each and every week. We have a great group of racers. Try to put on a wonderful show for everybody, and it's always a good show. But like I say, we also have our mall area that'll be set up, like I say, with the motorcycles. I have a bunch of different vendors coming in this weekend. And then we also have the cafe, which we really hadn't talked about. Most racetracks just have a concession stand, so to speak, but we actually have a cafe. You can go in and sit down with a big screen TV and all type of stuff.
Yep, you got one fine facility.
And the best strawberry shortcake anywhere in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
What time are the gates open, the grandstand area open this week?
This weekend, actually, we're going to open a little bit early. It'll be 4 o'clock for this Saturday night, 4 o'clock for the pits and the grandstands. And like I say, most of the vendors will be in by 3 o'clock or so, and then the bikes will start rolling in. And we'll do the judging and stuff and the intermission, those bikes that when they're classes will roll down the front straightaway and pick an overall winner.
And one of the best things about this weekend, other than the great show that's going to happen at East Bay, Is the computer models say we got a dry weekend ahead?
Hallelujah.
I hope so.
I hope so, too, especially for those bikers.
It'll be fun, man. And Todd is a... We'll have to check. After we go check out the I haven't been able to get up there till this late model show this weekend. We will do that, and maybe we'll have some of those guys on next week on this Inside Florida Racing show.
Sure, like I say, we got an excellent group of racers, and they come out and battle hard each and every week. You know, just like most of the guys in, around the state. But when you got a good group of 30 or so cars each and every week. You got to win the feature, something to hang your hat on. It's a good deal.
All right.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for being our guest, and we wish you the best of everything this weekend, and we'll have you on again real soon.
All righty. Well, thank y'all very much. I enjoyed it, and keep promoting everybody. Good luck.
Well, that's what we're here for. Thank you.
Thanks,
good night.
Todd, hello.
That was pretty
owner,
good.
Promoter, co-owner, promoter, co-promoter, East Bay Raceway Park. East Bay Raceway Park is like really close to Tampa, for people that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just south of Tampa on Route 41.
It's not that far from here either.
It's right near one of Florida's largest mountains.
That's the one you can see from 75, right?
That's correct.
I got a question for you, Jack. This is an opinion question.
Oh, God.
No, it goes towards what Todd was saying about educating the fans, and you seem to have some pretty strong opinions about that, too. If you're an announcer, where do you draw the line between educating the newcomers and insulting the regulars? If you understand what I'm saying.
No, I don't. I'm not sure.
The yellow flag comes out.
Yeah.
All your regulars know what a caution flag is. Some of your newcomers, I hope they know, but some of them don't. So if the announcer was to get on the microphone and try to explain what the yellow flag means, where do you draw the line between you're educating the newcomers and you're insulting the regulars because they already know? In other words, you don't want to talk down to your regular fans, but by the same token, you want to educate the newcomers.
Well, I don't know. To me, it seems like, okay, well, the officials deemed that. I mean, it would be no different than, I mean, you watch football. You're a football fan.
Right.
It's no different than the announcers on a football game explaining why the referees threw that flag and why the guy was, they called it holding, you know.
I guess it's why
they did it. You didn't do it.
Right.
They did it.
But I guess what I'm asking is to sit there and explain over and over again on the microphone every week in and week out, there's going to come a certain point where your regular fans are just going to look at the announcer and say, shut up already.
No doubt.
So, like I said, in order to not insult them, but by the same token, you want to be able to educate. Do you think there's
Do you think
there's an opportunity for a track to maybe run a workshop early on a weekend for anybody that's new to racing that wants to get to know it? Take them around the track, show them this, show them that, go over the flags. It's something that's maybe free for the community, something great maybe for like Cub Scouts or Boy Scout troops or just anything to where you're educating them off the clock, so to speak, so you know, you're not killing the show for the regular fan.
When I got involved in stock car racing, it was in the mid-90s, okay? And I had been familiar with, I was always an open wheel fan. You know what I mean? The Formula One type racing. I was a big fan of that kind of racing. And I never paid any attention to stock car racing at all. I'd never been to a stock car racing track. But I had also been involved in all kinds of sports. I played sports in high school, and I played football till I was 32 years old. And I looked at this. I go out there. This is exciting. Now, the next thing I want to know is, what are the rules of engagement? This is what I always used to say, because to me, it's like, this is like the war thing. You know, it's like, okay, what are the rules here? Why is this guy being sent to the rear? As a fan, I'm just wondering, why is this guy sent to the rear? Okay, all right, so somebody explains that to me. Well, then the next time I see it differently, and I go, well, wait a minute. In the last instance, this guy here, I mean, I'm just brand new at this. I'm not, like, got any axe to grind or got a horse in the race. I'm just looking at what I see. I see inconsistency in the way they do things, so I'm just trying to get a grip on it. So then I say, this was my key question. I went on with this for 2 years. So Rick Angie's finally told me to shut up. But I went on and on about this. Where is the rule book that explains how and when the flagmen make the call that does X, Y, or Z to the racer on the track?
Did
and you know what? There isn't one.
to a point. I think, I mean, every track and every series has their own rule book, and there's a rules of, or a coda,
yeah,
maybe not a rules of conduct, but most of them have something that's available.
Well, they do.
I mean, granted, we're not going to walk through the stands, I'm sure, at a racetrack and hand every brand new fan a rule book.
No, there's nowhere where it says, well, they don't in football or
well, in our program, it has all the flags and what they mean. And
I think, it doesn't this year, but I will.
What I was getting at, I think that if in the program, once in a while, you had a little insert.
Touch on the basics.
They gave the basics, I think that, and on the websites.
And I've heard.
I think the website's probably the easiest, cheapest way to get that information out because you don't have to pay for printing and like that. And as a like you as an announcer can send people to the website all day long, all night long, and have it on the in the program and have it everywhere you can to send people to the website. You know me. I mean, I'm all about the internet. To me, the internet's the most still underused asset we have. Still. Even though it's used a lot.
I've heard Jason at times say, so-and-so's got the blue flag out. That means this driver's got to do this and that.
That's probably the biggest question I've heard from fans is, what's the blue flag with the yellow or the orange stripe?
That means do not dive here.
And honestly, I mean, I've even heard some regular fans that don't quite understand what it means.
Yep.
But I guess my whole thing was just, when do you not insult somebody, but at the same time educate the ones that want educating. But, Jack and Carol just both turned their back to me, so apparently I insulted them.
I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention that Charlotte County Motorsports Park has a big 3-day extravaganza coming up here in October. It's going to be called Rocktoberfest. It's put out by Parrot, and they're going to have Bad Company's former lead singer, Brian Howe, on. On Friday night, will be stock car racing and a carnival midway. Then Saturday, they're going to have the rock concert. And Sunday, family day and live country music. So it's going to be a real fun weekend. Friday night will be $15, Saturday $20, Sunday $5 at the gate. A weekend pass for $35 and VIP pass is $20. So it looks like a real fun time at Charlotte County. Also, this week's limited late model race was rained out, so they will be having that this coming weekend.
Bad company.
Bad company. Bad.
Bad company. Well, there's good company on the line. Let's see here. We have
bad microphone.
Yeah, bad microphone. We have good company on the phone with us. Don Reams, president of TBRA. Don, you guys are going out to DeSoto Super Speedway this week and put on a very special show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. We're on the 50-lap feature in honor of Frank Riddle that passed away earlier this year. And this will be a very special race in his honor. So we're looking forward to doing this. The family is supposed to be there to present the trophy. And the last I talked to the family, they were supposed to have their car that Frank drove, the last car that he raced and raced at the Low 500 and some other races, supposed to have it back. And hopefully we can use it as a pace car for the feature also.
And have you ever done this before, the 50-lap deal?
We did a few years back. We ran a 50-lapper, yes. But it's not very common to do that. And I would like to thank Brandon Ford and also John at DeSoto for increasing the purse and making this event possible. And in talking to John in the past few weeks, he said that he would like to continue this race as a 50-lap race every year, make it an annual event at his racetrack and continue to run it as a 50-lap special event race.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I really appreciate all the help that we've had from him about this race and also Brandon Ford and Wayne Hammond, which is the general manager there. And was an ex-racer, raced sprint cars both on the dirt and the pavement. Everybody is really enthused about this show and to honor Frank. And I think we'll have a tremendous car count. And I think it'll just be a great show for everybody involved. So hopefully everybody will come out and we'll do the same thing that we've always done. We'll run our three heat races, and if we have enough cars to run a
semi
or a B main, then we will run that and then create our feature off of that amount of cars, and we will start 24 cars in the feature. We will run 50 laps.
So are these guys excited about this deal?
Oh, yes, sir.
I'll bet.
I've had a lot of enthusiasm from the racers about this. They're really pumped up about it. So I think that not only the racers are excited about the race, but also to be able to honor Frank and the family. So I think it'll be very good, and really looking forward to doing this.
All right. Now, let's see. I had the website up here, and it went away. I hit the wrong button, and it went away. So do you have a points battle going on, or is Troy – I haven't looked at this in a couple of weeks.
I'll be honest with you, I don't have the points in front of me, so
yeah.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah.
I can't tell you that. Wait a minute, I'm telling you a lie. Maybe I can tell you.
Oh yeah, here I have it too. Yeah, they were updated. The last update is 9-8, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Troy DeCare's got about 115 point lead in going into. What you got? Four or five races left.
I think we have five. Yes.
Yeah.
So
Dude Teat and Stan Butler. Well, actually, Dude Teat's got his work cut out for him.
Yes. Yeah, he's going to have to have some good luck and everything go his way to take over that. And he's also got to have good luck to keep people from coming from behind. And he's still got a good lead. He's got, what, 38 points?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, 38 points on Stan.
Yep.
And there's some other of it down in the deal. There's some closer battles to the in the point. So it's it always comes down to the wire. We get farther along, things get tighter, and the points get closer. It seems like, I don't know. It always seems to work out that way. I guess it's kind of like the chase with the NASCAR deal. Gets down there, and then it gets closer. So
yeah, so this coming Saturday night, you got the 50 lapper at DeSoto Super Speedway, the very special race. Then
right.
the very next week, you go back to that insanely fast New Smyrna Speedway half mile.
Right.
Then later in October, you come back to DeSoto and go to Ocala.
That race at DeSoto will then be I think it'll be their Halloween event.
Yeah.
It's always a big event there also.
Yeah.
All the racers seem to, not only our group, but the local people that support his shows every week have big treats for the kids, and they have out on the front straightaway, and that turns out to be a big show also. So, yeah, there's two big shows involving the TBARA at this Super Speedway, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then in November you finish off the year at Ocala Speedway, and then back to Citrus County Speedway. So
right. That's a two-day show in one weekend, a back-to-back show.
Yeah,
so
cool. All right, so this weekend, a full field of cars, as always, will be at DeSoto Speedway for the TBARA at a 50-lap special event.
Right.
All right.
And I certainly hope that everybody comes out and joins in and helps us celebrate Frank's, in honor of Frank's Riddles race.
All right. At TBARA, TBARA.com, if you haven't been there.
Right.
Don, thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll have you back on here again, and have a great race this weekend.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you,
Don.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you, man, that was of course, Don Ream, president of the TBARA Wing Sprints.
Does this night not go by so fast? It seems like we just got here.
It always does.
You know what I've listened a lot tonight is I really think that the track owners and promoters are bending over backwards to bring racing back in an exciting way. A lot of creative ideas.
That's a weird visual I got.
Oh, God.
I think a lot of them are trying new things. And here's the thing, you're going to try 7, 8, 9, 10 things and maybe find one that'll work. And the only thing I don't like is when people get on to, say a message board and trash a promoter for trying something that
I know.
Yes, maybe it's been tried before, but he hasn't tried it. And just because it fails, they want to sit there and beat them down and beat them down and beat them down. And to me, as long as they're trying something. Give them credit for that, because they're going to find something that'll work. It'll happen. You just got to give it time.
Absolutely. And, you know, my friend Rick Angies, who will be with me tomorrow night when we do the Real Racing USA Live at 7 to 9, talking about the kill cycle and having the kill cycle on and all kinds of other good stuff. You can go to realracingusa.com and see who's going to be on tomorrow night's show. But you know what he pointed out to me today? He reminded me, fans are fanatical.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we also were reminded by two or three guests tonight that fans are where it's at. You got to please your fans.
Yep. I just hope that fans wouldn't think that the promoters and owners and everybody, I mean, from owners and promoters down to the drivers to the announcers, everybody's trying what they can do for the most part. I don't think there's any bad people in the sport. You know, they may not have the right answers, but at least they're trying to come up with some answers. And, you know, just if you see something being tried at your local track and it doesn't work, don't trash the guy who's trying it, because at least he's trying something.
And you can't really trash people that make suggestions either, because
why not?
Sometimes they're valid suggestions and they should be heard.
I don't mind the suggestions so much as the people who have the attitude that A, they're always right.
Exactly.
And B, if you don't do everything I said exactly the way I said to do it, you're not doing anything to help out racing. That's when I think that the animosity comes in from the promoter side now, or the owner side, because if everybody had all the answers, there'd be no struggle in anything in life.
Mark, one of the things that makes this conversation even happen is the fact, and I swear I think people really forget this, is that this isn't NASCAR. This is not the NFL. It's not the NBA. It's not Major League Baseball. It's local short track racing. It's a very small, tight-knit kind of community. And it's one thing, you know, you get on a message board and you trash Wayne Huizenga because he can't put a winning Dolphin football team on the field. That's one thing.
But it's true.
It's completely. But sorry. It has no effect whatsoever on the whole outcome of the deal in any way, shape, form, or at all. But when people get on message boards that have to do with a local deal like, you know, Florida Stock Car Racing, it is a big deal because people work their asses off, really, to make things happen. And even though they're not, I mean, you and I both know, we disagree with all kinds of things, the way certain promoters attack their game. He's laughing, but it doesn't do any good to make a public spectacle out of it on and
right.
on. It just doesn't
right.
do any good. It's counterproductive because it's a small, tight-knit community, and insulting members of your family is not a good thing to do.
Exactly.
One thing my mom taught me growing up, when I'd get picked on for being too short or whatever, she always taught me just take into consideration the source. You know, what are they saying about themselves? And I think if you go into the message board with that as your attitude, you know, I had somebody call me today to ask me if I took exception to something they wrote, and I said, absolutely not. It's a message board. I said, I thought it was funny as hell, to be honest with you. because I can joke and we can all joke and have a good time. But just like I said, I mean, don't, if the guy at your local track is trying something, give him credit for trying it, whether it works or it doesn't. The best thing that you can do as a fan, and you can ask Rusty Marcus, because I do this every week with him, which is how I ended up flagging Saturday night at Speed World on the backstretch in my cutoff t-shirt and shorts and looking completely out of place, because I got to that track and I said, Rusty, what do you need me to do? Why can't people just do that? I mean, if the guy says nothing, then fine. You know, if you go up to your local promoter and say, hey, is there anything I can help with? You know, can I take out a trash bag? Can I tell people about what's going on this week? Which, that brings me to my next point. This Saturday night, New Smyrna Speedway, Clyde Hart Memorial, 125, Southern Sportsman 50.
Oh, that's right.
So, Clyde Hart Memorial, 125 for the Sun Belt. Timmy Russell, defending champion. He's won everything there is to win in the super late model this year. And he will be there, and a whole host of others.
Thank you to all our guests tonight. Mark, thank you especially for coming all the way out here.
My pleasure.
This is definitely a weekend to go to a Florida short track. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Thank you all. Good night. Be safe. You're really going to have it all. Down the south side of town, yeah. In some hole in the wall. I got to do the same. I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? Doing the St. Pete Boogie. Don't be contemplating crime.